This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run with Xiao Ning and Chuang. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Chris Tan, lawyer and managing partner at Che Associates, on the proposed Residential Tenancy Act. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking about the reactivation of JASA. And we are also, meanwhile, running a poll this morning on Twitter asking you, does the government need a unit to better communicate its strategies and policies to the public? So there are, of course, three options: yes, no, and not sure. Please vote on Twitter at BFM Radio. And so far, we've got, like as Chuang would say, thousands and thousands of people voting in. And a resounding 70% actually say yes, and 23% say no, while 7% say they are not sure. And the reason why we're asking this is because the Communications and Multimedia Ministry is looking into reactivating the Special Affairs Unit, also known by its Malay acronym JASA. The now defunct government agency has been accused of being a propaganda unit used by the then Barisan National Government previously to attack opposition leaders.
Yeah, so this unit was dissolved together with a group of other government agencies, I think including SPAD, Pemandu, and National Service Training Program, PLKN, after Pakatan came into power 2 years ago. So concerns are now surfaced that the revival of JASA might signal the return of scaremongering and racially divisive tactics by the government of the day, right? The former director and UMNO leader, Datuk Puat Zakashi, has claimed that the fear was unfounded, however, because the unit only serves as a communications machine.
So one person in support of JASA's reactivation is Deputy UMNO Youth Chief Sharil Hamdan, and he joins us on the line now. Sharil, thanks for being with us this morning. Now, you've been quoted as saying that the re-establishment of JASA would atone for Pakatan Harapan's wrongdoing. What do you mean by this?
I meant specifically the act of basically closing a bunch of agencies on the hoof for what I feel was a populist move quite soon after they won the general elections. That was the atonement that I'm speaking of, because I think while there is argument to look at the functions of some of these agencies and what they, the way they operated, and I'm in full support for reforms in the way many of these agencies operate, I think the fast and loose way they in practice fired around 17,000 people was a source of some frustration and regret.
So how would you counter criticism that JASA acted as a propaganda unit for the government, and whether it's even necessary to have them?
So in the posting that I put and in the comment section, I admitted as much. I think, I didn't say political propaganda, but I said if JASA is to be reinstated, its role has to be completely nonpartisan. It has to be reformed to achieve its proper function and proper role, which I think is reaching out to certain communities for which other communication channels may not be as effective. I think if you look at what JASA did in the whole span of its existence, not just the couple of years leading up to GE, because I think there's a lot of cherry-picking about what exactly JASA did. They do things that other agencies don't do. They do things like doing programs in schools, say quizzes about, instilling certain values that the government feels is non-partisan, can be progressive, that bring people together, unity and all the rest of it, which I think is a, I don't know if I'll call it a lost art, but it's something that has its place and function even in today's world.
Now, the secretive and opaque nature of JASA's operations was also seen to be a problem by some. What is or should be the mandate of JASA then?
Our conversations and just a couple of questions thus far have been based upon what JASA used to be. What I'm saying is, let's sort of create a blank slate. Realize that JASA's function is communication of government policies, of certain non-partisan values that we want imparted upon the Malaysian population, not through propaganda, not through subtle ways of asking you to support this or that party. I think those days are gone. It's clearly gone. It doesn't work anyway, even if you try. Let's bring this to 5 feet. You've got this Penjana stuff. You've got Prihatin. You've got all these teething problems with implementation. Presumably, there is a role for an agency, if not just us, somebody else, to go down to the ground, to rural areas, who don't know what they're supposed to do if they don't have SSM and they want to apply for some of the assistance, who don't know if they how they're going to appeal if they didn't get Bantuan Sara Hidup previously, but they want to get the Prihatin help. There is a role for someone to go down and communicate, look, these are the steps 1, 2, 3 that you have to do. Now, clearly, that is not partisan in any manner. So what I'm saying is, forget whatever preconceived assumptions are about what JASA used to be. And I'm in agreement, and I admit and I acknowledge that some of the things that they did perhaps in the later years of its existence were not in keeping with the idea of it being a non-partisan government agency, government body. And see what can be done, what can be transformed in terms of its roles and operations. Make it less opaque, make it more open, and not sort of because of certain experiences of assumptions of what they did in its latter years, that JASA in and of itself is seen as not necessary.
So as UMNO Information Chief, Cheryl, how would you change the way JASA disperses its messaging and communications?
In terms of the more mainstream communication channels, I'm not saying JASA can't contribute to that, but I think that's not its real value add. Its real value add is the fact that it's meant to have representatives in every parliamentary division. So having a representative from that particular area who lives in that particular area, going into schools, for example, going into certain areas of congregation, giving out more traditional ways of communication, such as flyers, such as having federally funded programs that give an opportunity for people to impart certain communication. I think those kind of more traditional, when I say mainstream, now mainstream is not really traditional anymore, right? So I'm saying the more old school, traditional way of communicating and having that human interaction, that face-to-face interaction, is what I think JASA can do more than the normal broad-based, broadcast type of comms.
But Cheryl, how can the government ensure that JASA is held accountable?
Presumably, you can have an oversight committee that parliamentarians from both sides sit on, and JASA has to show reports of its programs, feedback that it receives. So maybe some of this information, if it's not national security stuff, should be presented to opposition politicians too, if that's what we're worried about. So the information shouldn't be, this area is more supportive of this party over that party, because that's not what JASA ought to be doing. It should be, you know, this area has a problem with this infrastructure issue. This area has low literacy rates. So sort of as a byproduct of the fact that JASA has to do face-to-face interactions with people when communicating, they can also feed back, you know, stuff back to the powers that be. It doesn't have to just be the executive, can be the legislative too. So I think an oversight committee, just like anything that government does, can be misused. And anything that government does can be controlled in its effect by the legislative. I don't think we should do away with whatever good JASA or an equivalent agency can do, simply because we haven't put the oversight processes in place yet. So if we're worried about the potential for misuse, then do the stuff that's necessary to mitigate that. But don't give up on it just because we don't like how it was operating, you know, perhaps in more recent years.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was Deputy UMNO Youth Chief Cheryl Hamdan telling us why JASA should be restarted and how his point of view is that it should be bipartisan. It should just be, the purpose of it should be to distribute or to kind of inform the public about what the government strategies are all about, and there should be a representative in every parliament area. But I'm just wondering, personally, isn't that what the Ministry of Information is there for already? And it's not like the government doesn't have other means to communicate with the public at this current juncture. There is still RTM, there's Bernama, for example.
And it's not such a huge country that, you know, you need these kind of like messengers. I mean, the potential for abuse is there, and the skepticism exists because of what, you know, JASA used to do, even BTN used to do. But I like what Cheryl says. I think he's right in pointing out that there is a need to offer this kind of like nuanced, useful, productive, constructive messaging to people all over the country, especially when you think about Sabah, Sarawak, right? How dispersed that place is.
Yeah, but the question is, will it be bipartisan, and who's going to be, you know, having oversight over this so that it's not used by one party?
The controls can be put in place. He's right in saying that it is just whether it's enforced or not and whether the right people are being put there.
Well, you know, we've had some feedback on our poll this morning. And I think the question is, you know, whether this thing will remain bipartisan. I think that's the concern there. And also this other thing, please, no taxpayers' money on spin. I think, because let's face it, you know, we are facing fiscally hard times.
Yeah.
Do you need to hire 1,700, I think, what did he say, 7,000 or less than 2,000 people to run a government agency again?
Exactly.
Is there more kind of cost effective way to do so, maybe via even social media?
Can I just mention some of the social media that's been coming in response to the poll? Person named Kishan asking why we need another propaganda arm. BTN was enough. And then, of course, a gentleman named Lewis, it's this overlapping role with other agencies. We're in austerity mode now. Why do we need more spend on agencies?
Well, up next, we'll be still following this story nonetheless. But up next, we'll be speaking to Boon Negara, consultant on Asian security and strategy on Hong Kong's delayed elections. That's going to be happening after the 10:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.